It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to the president of the Greater Madison Chamber of Commerce, who says Wisconsin can grow its economy by focusing on startup businesses.
First, late Friday, a federal judge ruled against Republican-backed election measures in Wisconsin, including part of the state's voter ID law.
The ruling came on the same day a federal appeals court struck down voting laws in North Carolina and a week after a different appeals court ruled against a voter ID law in Texas. And in Milwaukee last week, a federal judge determined voters could cast ballots without showing ID in November if they submit affidavits at the polls saying they couldn't easily get state-issued ID cards.
Patrick Marley is covering this story for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he's a state capitol reporter. Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, Patrick, this was a sprawling 119-page decision. So can we start by having you walk us through some of the key areas of Wisconsin's voter ID laws that were struck down by Judge Peterson last Friday?
Sure. Part of the reason the decision is so long is because the lawsuit dealt with many different laws that have been passed in the last 5 years. Republicans have controlled state government during that time, and they've passed a number of laws affecting voter registration, probably the best known is the voter ID law, but they also put limits twice on when people can vote early. They eliminated straight ticket voting. They got rid of what's called special registration deputies. So the groups One Wisconsin Institute and Wisconsin Citizen Action filed suit over all of those laws, saying that taken together, they were designed to discriminate against either Democratic voters or minorities, people who tend to vote for Democrats. And Judge Peterson ruled many of those laws were unconstitutional.
Now, if upheld, which of these changes do you think is likely to have the biggest impact on Wisconsin elections?
Well, I mean, the voter ID sort of grabs all the headlines, but we're really, the changes to that law are kind of on the margins at this point. The state Supreme Court and the state and the federal court of appeals has upheld Wisconsin's voter ID law. So that is in place. It's a requirement that most people have with these two, the decisions that have come out in the last 10 days. They affect people who have the most difficulty getting IDs, sort of creating what the judges call a safety valve or a safety net for those people to vote. But you shouldn't underestimate the effects that some of the other things in Judge Peterson's ruling have on the way elections are run. The changes, for instance, on early voting, I think, are very significant. If that decision holds, there would be a much longer period of time for people to vote, and those decisions would be made at the local level. So places like Milwaukee, for instance, right now you can only vote. If you vote early, you have to do it at City Hall. They could have multiple sites where you can vote early. They could have weekend voting again. They could have evening hours, so times when they felt it was easier for voters to get to the polls.
Now, the language used was very pointed in this decision. The judge used the phrase, for instance, phantom election fraud at one point in a remark about the way that he perceived that these election laws unfairly target minorities in Wisconsin, and in particular African Americans who have been reliably Democratic voters. Can you tell us more about what he said about how he came to that particular conclusion?
Well, there's been a lot of research into voting fraud, and the type of voter fraud that voter ID is intended to crack down on is impersonation fraud. So somebody going to the polls claiming to be someone that they're not and voting in that person's name. That really doesn't happen, and Judge Peterson looked at the record and said that. And he also, one thing that the supporters of voter ID will say is that, well, there might not be this type of voter ID, but people are concerned that that type of voter fraud could exist, and so this gives people more confidence that their vote is going to be secure, that it's that no one's going to cheat the system, and that they can rely on the results. And Peterson sort of found the opposite, that the voter ID laws, and more than that, the debate that surrounds that creates a lack of confidence, and that all the claims or fears about fraudulent voting causes people to believe that there's more fraudulent voting than there actually is. But he also took pains to note that he doesn't get to decide whether we should or shouldn't have voter ID, that the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld voter ID laws, and the Seventh Circuit has specifically upheld Wisconsin's, and so he can't second-guess those higher courts.
We're talking with Patrick Marley right now, state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about a federal judge issued decision on Friday that struck down several Republican-backed election measures in Wisconsin. And Patrick, what kind of response have you seen from supporters of Wisconsin's voting law, including Attorney General Brad Schimmel and Governor Scott Walker?
So the Attorney General has said he's going to appeal this decision. This is definitely not the last we've heard on this. Expect to, you know, a lot more filings and appeals, and, you know, the rules could change at any moment back to what they were or some other set of rules. I'd say the response largely has fallen along party lines, which is really what we've seen over the last 10 or 15 years during these debates over voter ID and associated voting laws, which is that, you know, Republicans see them as very important and as a way to fight against any kind of fraud, and Democrats see them as an attempt to make it hard for people of color to vote.
And are Republicans also seeing this as an example of what they might call judicial overreach, or maybe a battle line between states and the federal government?
Absolutely, they've said that. They attacked the judge, James Peterson, as an activist and a liberal for this ruling. You know, it's worth noting he's been on the bench since 2014. He was appointed by President Barack Obama, so he hasn't had a long record as a judge. It's worth noting that he voted against Shirley Abrahamson, the former Chief Justice of Wisconsin and a liberal, when she sued to get her job back as Chief Justice. He was the judge that heard that case. He ruled in favor of the conservatives in that case. When he was appointed to the bench, Ron Johnson, a Republican U.S. Senator, praised his appointment there, fully supported him. But now we've got the Speaker of the Assembly here and the Majority Leader attacking Judge Peterson as a liberal and an activist.
Now, the Wisconsin case from this decision on Friday, it unfolded almost in parallel with a North Carolina case about early voting. How do the two relate?
So the North Carolina case is further along. There was a similar lawsuit there that challenged not just their voter ID law or their early voting hours, but sort of all of their suite of laws taken together. And that case got before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled that those laws were discriminatory and sort of right in line with what Peterson did. It's just that their decision has more sway because they're in appeals court. Now, that ruling is not precedential in Wisconsin because they're in a different circuit, but it kind of helps you see how the appeals courts are thinking and tees up this issue as something that could get to the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, clearly, this Wisconsin case is going to be decided by our Seventh Circuit. We don't know what they're going to decide, but I think things are lining up for eventually the Supreme Court to weigh in on issues like these.
And Patrick, any idea when that might happen? Would it happen feasibly before the November election?
Well, I think that the Seventh Circuit is going to have to decide these things before the election. Certainly, they're going to, either they're going to say, because if they were to say that they were going to wait for a final ruling until after the election, in the meantime, they would have to decide whether what Peterson says goes for the time being, or to stay his decision and put the laws that have just been paused back into effect while they decide the matter. So one way or the other, they're going to be the arbiter of that. If they reach a final decision, either side can appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Hard to say what happens there. The U.S. Supreme Court is short one justice. Courts are always hesitant to change voting rules when we get close to an election. So it sort of depends how close to the November 8th election we are at that point, I think.
And, of course, the August 9th primary just around the corner. Do you have a best guess about where we might be at that point?
Yeah, so that's next week, and I think it's important to note that none of these laws will be changed for that election. What's both Peterson in his decision and Edelman, who issued another voter ID decision, the one from last week, both of their decisions take effect after the August primary. So for this election, this primary that we're in right now, the early voting limits are what the Republican lawmakers set them out as. There's a full voter ID law in place. People have to show ID at the polls. If they don't show them on August 9th, they will not be able to vote. So on August 10th, that's when all the rules change for November, and we don't have these voter ID laws that are, or the full voter ID law and the early voting limits that we've had in the past. So is it going to be easy for voters to get confused? Absolutely, because you've got that little quirk there and also the possibility of further court orders in the next 4 months that would, you know, put these laws on and off. It could definitely make for a situation where your average person doesn't know what the rules are.
Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That was Patrick Marley, State Capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he was with us to talk about the ruling from a federal judge issued Friday that struck down several Republican-backed election measures in Wisconsin. And you can find a link to his piece about this story on the Central Time Facebook page.